Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Mark's going to be with us till about 12:13 after because I've got another guest coming on. I'm going to twist his arm to stay so we can take these calls. We really do have a rogue government that staged the attacks. They really are putting sodium fluoride in our water to brain damage us. We have the documents. They really are doing all of this. I mean, people write me and call me and say, you know, you're too extreme. What you say is too scary. That's reality, okay? I mean, I wish we didn't have psychopathic scientific dictatorship running things, carrying out eugenics on us. I wish they weren't doing all this. I wish they weren't building prisons everywhere. I wish they weren't destroying our borders and hiring felons in police departments and the military. It's happening. We tell you 10 years ago they were hiring felons, you laugh at us. Now it's in the news. We've only got this segment part of the next to take your calls with Mark Kornke. Let's go to James in Illinois, then Daniel, Jason, Paul, and Steve, and that's it for calls. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, Alex, I'm Jim McKeever. I'm a union wireman here in Chicago and a union lineman, and I was working in New York in 2001 on the Bear Stearns building, but at that time we had about 200 wiremen down at the Trade Center in March and April of that year doing a lot of they probably didn't know exactly what they're doing, but if you're going to wire a building to blow, in these office buildings, the data rooms are all stacked one on top of each other, so it would not be difficult to, you know, and that cord looks a lot like Cat 5 cable, too, or can. You know, it would be easy to dupe some construction workers into thinking that they were doing something else when they actually weren't. But the thing I was calling you about is Larry Silverstein had just recently purchased the Sears Tower, I read. And you're talking about Chicago, and birds of a feather tend to flock together, you know, and this guy's probably going to do the same thing over again. So I've been telling everybody just
yes,
stay
we
out
keep
of
saying down. Chicago because a bunch of CFR people, Warren Rudman, Gary Hart, and others keep saying, mark my words, Dallas, Chicago, Denver, Cleveland, they're all going to be hit by nukes. They will be hit by nukes. And then afterwards, they love to show off and look like they're real smart, just like they wrote memos and open letters before 9/11 saying it's, you know, we're going to get hit in New York. Mark, explain how they love to brag. That's a message to all their other crime syndicate buddies that, hey, I'm on the inside.
Two things to remember, by the way, real quick, Alex, about Chicago and for our friend here on the air. Watch the stockyards. Watch the rolling rail yards. When you see them empty out, that will be a warning. And as it is, there have been several points during key periods in the last year where the stockyards were literally empty, which is unheard of because all rail leads to Chicago.
Right. Yeah, we are a big hub. And
that's right. And so that would be something, again, it's one of those many precursor or indicators because if they're going to do an insurance job in Fraga City, they're going to move the stock out, roll some junk in, let that burn what little they want to sacrifice, and then claim much larger on the insurance, so to speak, later on.
One other thing I noticed, the work picture in New York was real bad for years. And in 2001, the books opened up. They started bringing guys in from all over the country to do jobs everywhere in that city.
Exactly. Well, now one real quick about the whole thing with Decor. Remember that a lot of the wiring for demolition in that building would have to be conventional copper because you've got to get the signals simultaneously to different locations.
Right.
So to have the electricians running wire the way that they would and to have a large number in there, that would make sense with, again, consistent demolition and destruction. The final work would be done by more express professionals,
but Mark,
smaller pot.
But, Mark, did you hear what he just said? And I remember seeing this as well. That was a union city. You couldn't get foreign construction workers, people outside the city in, but they knew they were going to need a lot more, so they opened it up the year before.
Yep, and they let people in that otherwise would not have been allowed on the floor to work or touch a wire, would they?
I was working for the Port Authority myself on a job over in Jersey on September 11th, and they shipped us over to start putting trailers together for them for temporary offices. And I talked to a couple guys, and I can swear I remember them telling me they came down off the 98th floor of the North Tower. And I thought nobody got off the above the strike out of the North Tower. So that's just been stuck in my head is how those guys get down, you know.
Amazing, sir. Good to hear from you. Final segment with Mark Kornke. On the other side, I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We cover it all, everything, every issue, every facet. We go everywhere. Nothing is taboo. Our guests can talk about anything and everything they want. And that's what we're doing today. Mark's going to be with me 2 hours coming up in 7 days, the last 2 hours next Friday, and we'll get into a host of other issues. I want to try to hurry through your calls. He's got to go in a few minutes. I've got another guest waiting. Let's talk to Daniel in Illinois. Daniel, you're on the air with Mark Kornke. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I really got to agree with you guys. You know, we're coming into very hard times and stuff. Like, I recently graduated from my government training camp, and I got to say, I mean, everything is just like so, we got cameras everywhere, like almost in the classroom. You know, you can see them there.
Oh, they're in most school bathrooms, sir. The police can take blood at checkpoints. It's all about humiliation, all about setting the precedent.
Not only that, but, I mean, we have so many cops compared to when I first started going there. And not only that, this year, they're going to start making everyone wear ID tag, like a little, like a necklace.
Well, you know, 5 years ago in Louisiana, the kids all just said no.
Guys, it's like what it is the school is not school. It has become prison. That's all that it is. If you want to know what prison is, you're seeing it in our school systems, and that's conditioning everybody to literally, you might as well just slap the chains on. That's the next step.
I even have a teacher who, I mean, she really believes into this global warming, you know, swindle, and she's...
That's all an anti-human global tax fraud.
Exactly. That's what she said. She told me, she told everybody in class, she's like, okay, guys, you know, I'm really sorry to break it to you guys, but if we don't turn this around with this global warming, humanity could be lost in like 50 years.
Yeah, total bull, and so humans are going to have to die to save the Earth. It is total fraud. Now, understand there's real environmental problems. The globalists are systematically, with the genetic cross-species engineering, destroying the global biosphere. They're dumping toxic waste everywhere. But then they'll give you something fake, like what plants breathe, like carbon dioxide, when it's the sun that heats the earth, and when in hot periods, we can have a larger biomass. Mark Kornke?
Well, real quick on that, well, these people always tell you, well, I hate to tell you, you know, they're going to have to get rid of people. Well, how about her first? You know what? Lead by example. Have her jump over the cliff and we'll watch. Ooh, that doesn't look very healthy. I don't think I'm going to do that, Alex. I think we'll just stand and watch.
Yeah, they're a bunch of well-meaning, most of these people are just well-meaning, mindless idiots, but they're just as dangerous. These are robotic idiots.
But hypocrites in the process, because they plan on you being the one sacrificed. They're being told that they're the special pet puppies. Isn't that what the Soviets did every step of the way?
Absolutely, Mark. I just know a lot of them are listening and going, me? What? I'm sorry. I love humans, but we must die. I can't admit I'm wrong. Okay, let's go ahead. Thank you for the call, Daniel. Jason, let's talk to, who's up next here? Jason in Illinois. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, a couple moments ago, you guys were talking about food supply and growing your own crops, and I was looking into it, and it only costs around $5,000 per person to get a 2-year food supply with water filters and first aids and burners, everything you need. I mean, that might sound like a lot of money to some people, but I believe having a food and water supply is one of the, like, top three key things that you need to do to fight the NWO.
Well, I agree. It's good to get a food supply, and I'm about to talk about that, but is it better to teach somebody how to fish or give them fish? And I think everybody should have a storable food as a backup, but what Mark's saying is the change in culture from being urban under their control to even in the urban areas, starting a garden, putting out some solar panels, beginning to not be as dependent on them. That way they can't just cut off the food and then make us all go turn our guns in. And Mark Kornke, when I would listen to him 10, 12 years ago, because I actually discovered Mark after I got on air, and I was like, wow, this guy's really got it figured out. I mean, he had it figured out totally back then. I've been learning as we go along. And I remember Mark saying over and over again, They're going to train your kids to be rounded up at schools. We have the documents. And he had sources. His dad, of course, was a sheriff's deputy there in town. And then he would go into how they're going to shut down the cities and make you bring your guns in to get your kids. And then they did that in New Orleans and other places, where they're going to make you turn your guns in for food, because they've done this in all these other nations. Mark?
Well, here again, what he's talking about, I thoroughly agree with food storage, just like Alex said. Everybody's saying the same thing in the Patriot movement, but we have to have tiers of preparation. Food production has to be already in place. We can't think about doing it down the road. We have to have it in place now for replacement of whatever staples materials we're developing. The food storage system is our insurance supply, and it's a good thing because we control it. You control it. Every listener controls that investment.
Yeah.
That is definitely worth the money. I know we got to go in a second here. Real quick, guys, if you get a chance, go to YouTube and then go punch in for a search, Liberty Tree Radio. Go to YouTube and then punch in Liberty Tree Radio. Take a look at all of our videos. There's a whole bunch of fun stuff and interesting stuff we put up there. You want to see militia units in motion? You're going to see it there in the videos. You want to see basic information on how to deal with the gas mask technology and chemical defense? It's there. A lot of other stuff. Punch in my name, Mark Kornke, K-O-E-R-N-K-E, on YouTube. That'll get you all kinds of other fun stuff. But the big thing is take a look at the resources and the people that are training and the work that's being done.
Absolutely, folks. Not being somewhat self-sufficient literally lets them have you by the short hairs. And we're going to take more calls later, but I got to let Mark go now. Mark, you're going to be on with me in 2 hours coming up next Friday. Thank you for all the great work you've done, my friend.
Thank you, Alex. You guys keep up good work there. And everybody pitch in, help to get the video spread out.
And, Mark, give us that one, absolutely help us get, especially the new film, folks, Truth Rising, help us get that out. Mark, give us a Empire is on the Run. Go through it all.
God bless the Republic. Death to the New World Order. We shall prevail, ladies and gentlemen. The Empire is on the run. We are on the march. Kick them in the slats. Drive them to the beach. Give them a backpack full of rocks and let them swim halfway back to the spiders.
Mark, God bless. We've come so far, my friend, and we're going to go a lot further. We don't have a choice. The enemy has got us cornered. They're coming down on us. And, ladies and gentlemen, history's happening now. Don't stand on the sidelines and get run over. Have a great weekend, Mark.
Thank you, Alex. Remember, Chesty Puller, what he said when they were surrounded at the Chosin Reservoir, when he said, General, we're surrounded, he said, good, that means we can attack in all directions. Fix bayonets.
Take care.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, folks. For this segment and the next, I've got, I didn't plan it this way, it just happened this way, because I've been trying to get Mark all week, and he called last night and said he could do it today. But we were just talking about food preparedness, getting the storable food, and then start learning as a supplement how to grow, how to get ready. Now is the growth season. There's a lot of things you can grow super easy, folks. Watermelons, pumpkins, tomatoes, all of those, even in your backyard. This makes the New World Order pull their hair out. And the leading expert on all of this is Steve Shank, J. Michael Stevens Group, eFoodsDirect.com. Thanks for coming on with us, Steve.
Hey, it's good to be aboard, Alex.
And we were just for the last hour talking about getting ready. The New World Order is definitely moving against us, and they're now saying get ready for food riots in the U.S. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I know this. I better get prepared if the government's talking about it.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that we've got another bailout coming, which means that you heard about that this morning, and they're going to bail out all these homes, which means they're going to just print more money, which means that when you take your $10 to the grocery store, it's going to buy less than it has in just the last week and a half, which is already 400 times more than what it cost last year to have groceries. And that's what we're dealing with. Now, I was able to listen for a part of this. One of your callers called in and said 5,000. It doesn't take that much if you go with bulk foods. But the fact is that unless people take back control of their own destiny, and that's their food, they got a problem. Now, what Mark was bringing up is absolutely perfect. You see, you're not going to probably be able to put in enough storable food, enough of this bulk food that we talk about at eFoodsDirect.com, to get you through the whole thing, because you got to get at least another 3 or 4 years. This is going to take a little while for us to get back into control. And you buy the storable food to deal with right now. We're now telling people, Alex, to start eating this, because they're buying food at half last year's grocery prices, as opposed to going down to the grocery store. And people are running out of money. It's just absolutely absurd. The food banks, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the food banks that help the poor that have lost their jobs in this whole fiasco are down to the point where they're getting half the donations. You realize that the investors are buying up the food to the extent and selling it outside the country to the point where the...
From Michigan to California, they're opening huge car parks for yuppies to live in their cars.
That's right. Absolutely. And the thing is that what's happening is that the investors are buying up the food so fast ahead of the American public, even with our shortage situation, that the food banks have had all of their donations cut in half. That means that when they get enough food in for to feed 50 people, they're going to have to stretch it to 150 people. And that's, it's not working. And the fact
there's no doubt we are in a deep recession, going into hyperinflation and a depression if it continues. And the Federal Reserve is making all the announcements, as you said, that will only intensify it.
Absolutely. And what we're dealing with, Alex, is the fact that I think that a lot of people now, right now, just to give you an idea, the shipping on the full 1 year supplies and things, we've got that down to 2 weeks. We've put in some extra lines and things like that. And so I know a lot of your listeners have contacted some of the retail operations, and they're back ordered 3 and 4 months and all this kind of stuff. We've got it down to 2 weeks, so anybody that needs to move on the food, they're buying food at half the cost of last year's prices, but also it's getting shipped out to them. Now, one of the things that you have to be concerned about, the criminal element is now involved.
It's all over the news. They're, like you said 6 months ago, they're stealing food, robbing stores, stealing the metal out of the air conditioners. Frankly, it's giant gangs of illegal aliens running around looting the idiot Americans. Stay there, Steve Schenck. We're going to come right back. eFoodsDirect.com. He's got a free CD, DVD, documenting their products, how to prepare yourself. You can call them and get a free copy or a brochure, but I wouldn't wait. I'd call and get food. We'll give you those numbers on the other side. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up, WTC7 emergency head was building collapse specialist. This is huge news. Dovetails in with the information Kevin Ryan was talking about a few weeks ago with us. Right now, Steve Schenck, the head honcho, the owner of the J. Michael Stevens Group, longest continually operating affordable food company in the nation. They have free audio CDs, DVDs with his presentations. If you want to find out about what they do, how to prepare food, how to store food, what the best types of food are, and they have the very inexpensive, high-quality food that is not genetically modified in any way. It is clean, healthy, good food. Continuing with the 5 minutes we've got left, sir, folks need to call you, and they need to get at least a 2-month getaway pack, a 1-year supply. I mean, this is just the most basic insurance.
Yeah, and the thing I was going to cover just before the break is the criminal element. One of the concerns that I have is that people need to move on getting their food in their possession. There will come a time very shortly, and here's another one of those there will come a time things, Alex, where even shipping by regular common carrier like we've been shipping out will not be safe because the food will be hijacked. There's absolutely no doubt as to whether that'll happen. And
that happened in Argentina in 2000 when they were a first world nation.
Yeah, I understand. And the main thing that we're dealing with is that the people have to realize that putting in the food supplies, getting this food in right now for a high percentage of our families, what it means is them being able to eat because they can't afford groceries, and this stuff, this food is going out at half of last year's grocery costs. Now, you add that together with the fact that when people are putting in their supplies right now, all they're doing is buying some time until they can get out of town or get a little piece of ground, get their yard plowed up, because you are going to have to start producing your own. I'm glad that you brought that up, Alex, because that's the next step. Now, one thing that I need to announce is with every shipment of food supplies, we are sending out a DVD. The things that we normally send out are the CDs, and there's a lot more information than what we can possibly put into these packets for those of you that are calling in, so try and get up on the website if you can. But we're going to start putting out a DVD and a workbook, basically, that covers how you need to prepare for emergencies. This is the evacuation route, the stuff that you need in addition to having your supply of food in.
Okay, give them your numbers, Steve. A lot of people don't have computers.
Okay, call 800 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. And everybody that calls in from Roger's program today and for the next week.
That's right. You have Roger Fredenberg voicing your ads.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, on Roger's stuff. On Alex's program, if you call in from that show, let us know. We'll make sure that you get this DVD and the emergency preparedness information right with your order.
Give them your number again, Steve.
Do 800-409-5633 or get up on efoodsdirect.com. Alex, I appreciate you, and you're doing some fabulous work. Keep Mark Korenke yelling. That'll help.
Well, I mean, what I'm trying to, you know, get out to the people is I don't know what's going to happen, but they're talking about World War III with Iran. They're talking about food riots. They're talking about, I mean, the mainstream media is saying all this. I hope it's not going to happen. As bad as stuff is, I enjoy my life. It's pretty comfortable here in Austin, and I don't want things to go to hell in a handbasket. I don't want to be right. But
yeah.
If we had 90% that were urban today, and it was 85, 90% that were rural 80 years ago during the Great Depression, I mean, do the math, folks. 8 million people, according to a big university study came out last month, starved to death during the 8-9 years of the Great Depression, and that was with close to 90% being, quote, self-sufficient. So if this kind of stuff happens now, if there's any chance of it, and it's being openly discussed, we're talking a breakdown of society, which the bankers are planning, then they'll come in and emergency reorganize society. This could go on for 5, 6, 7 years, like Steve's saying. That's what all the economists are saying. And then a year or two supply of food just doesn't cut it. And I'm telling you, I'm so busy doing talk radio. I'm so busy talking on air. Thank God I've got family land I can run to, but it's not really set up properly. We're trying to fix the old water well that's been struck by lightning. I'm trying to look at some piece of land outside Austin, but I don't have the money, really. It's expensive. The yuppies have driven up the price moving down here from California. I've got 4 acres that I got through a business transaction for almost nothing years ago, but that's almost residential out in the country. And I'm telling you, folks, I am truly concerned. And if you don't hear me on air for a week or two here and there in the future, you know, I got to go to Denver. I got to go to here. Burmis is in town, so I've been, you know, having him fill in because he's a great guy. But you may not hear me on air some while I'm getting my family ready. I mean, this isn't a joke. Give him your number again, Steve Shank.
Okay, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. And, Roger, you're absolutely right. It's going to take about 2 years to get a piece of land up to where it'll grow something.
Absolutely.
So
okay, Steve, thank you for joining us. We got to go. Hold on one moment.
Out your window, I'm leaving. I won't even turn my head. Don't send your kin folks to give me no talking. I'll be gone, like I said. You'd say the same old thing that you've been saying all along. Lay there in your bed and keep your mouth shut till I'm gone.
I look like Bob's Big Boy. I do this TV thing, and we're live, streaming live right now, PrisonPlanet.tv, and I will now be known as Bob's Big Boy. Or what does Bob's Big Boy do? He's like, gotta have a little bit of fun. Hey, let's put Bob's Big Boy up on screen for people so they can understand what I'm talking about. Isn't he like holding a hamburger in his hand or something? All right, let's have some fun here. It's been a very, very serious show so far, and we're going to have some fun by getting into brutal police state attacking small children and women. That is light listening for the radio show. You know, it's a non-hierarchical group, and I think it's just better if Rob Savoy, who is prominent with the Rainbow Gathering, and he's posted some videos of the people being attacked for no reason, and it made even some mainstream newspapers and in the area. They reported that this group of people were out there, and the police basically beat one person up, so people yelled at them, so they attacked them. And I've seen a lot of other videos in past years where the police search every car that comes in of even media to cover it and searches of people coming into the national park, into the national forest area. And so to tell you what the Rainbow Gathering is and the type of harassment they've been under is Rob Savoy. And they have different classes of people that are in it. He's one of the medical attendees, and it has its own nomenclature and acronyms. And so Rob Savoy will first fill us in on what the Rainbow Gathering is briefly and then what happened to them late last week into the weekend, upsetting the establishment that people dare meet in the woods I guess, commune with nature. They've left them alone somewhat in the past, but now that's changing here in the new freedom that we live under. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Howdy.
Tell us again about the Rainbow Gathering, about you, and then about what you and others witnessed, about the videos that you've seen, that you got from some of the other members as multiple incidents took place out there. I mean, first tell us Rainbow Gathering, where it is, what it does, you know, where it's located.
Sure, and you can get a lot of information off my unofficial Rainbow Family website, which is called welcomehome.org, and it's got a lot of historical and legal and background information. But briefly, the Rainbow Family has been having our gathering since 1979. We believe strongly in the constitutional right for peaceable assembly on public land, and we exercise that right by gathering every summer since 1972. The Forest Service has tried three times to make what we do constitutionally illegal by writing regulations, making what we do illegal. The prior two versions were thrown out in court in 1986 and 1988. The new version of these regulations, which was an administrative change to the Forest Service regulations, came out in 1995, and that, in a sense, made what we've been doing for all these years an illegal activity. Once we became a, quote, illegal activity, the law enforcement harassment stepped up quite heavily, leading to many years of complete roadblocks, shutting down the Rainbow Gathering for 3 to 5 days on period. We've had incidences like 2 years ago in Colorado where the law enforcement folks from the Forest Service arrested all of the medical workers and banned them from doing medical care at gatherings. And a whole series of events kind of culminating in this year where, while they didn't set up a hard roadblock, many of us wound up spending much time in court. They passed out lots of tickets for things like dirty license plates and all sorts of stuff. And there were several.
Oh, yeah, you don't have an unregistered gathering of slaves. Pretty soon we'll be locked in our houses. You don't have pit slaves out in nature by themselves without King's approval.
Well, basically, yeah. I mean, when you've got thousands of people sitting in the woods, you know, exercising their rights to gather peacefully on public land, these people don't typically agree with the government status quo policies and a lot of other stuff.
Well, we also have the government, you know, letting the borders be over. Run and all sorts of crime, but they don't care about that. They only care about pit slaves, would-be yuppies who aren't yuppies, who are outside their slave grids, daring to believe that they can go on King's land without licking boots.
Sure, and they keep forgetting that public land is owned by all of us, not just a select group of
people. But it's not really owned by pit slaves, they'll tell you that. So as pit slaves who've escaped your slave pit, this angers the pit masters?
Yeah, that's probably a way of putting it, where we think that a lot of it is they just want to get control over us. They have consistently insisted that we become hierarchical, that we start picking representatives, that we start negotiating with the government. They keep trying to get us to sign permits and things with the government, which we can't do. Nobody can represent the Rainbow Family, just like even if I'm in a small town of people, I can't represent the people in my town, right? I can't say, oh, go pave this road and do whatever you want. But the government wants us to get organized. They want us to pick leaders. They want to use these leaders, much like the BIA, to influence their control over us. And typically we think that once they get that control, they would use it to basically shut down this activity that we've been doing for all these years.
Now, tell us about where it's located, where it takes place, and generally how it works. And then in a communal fashion, and then what happened Friday and throughout the weekend with the ringwraiths.
Yeah, I mean, typically there's a lot of rainbows who spend a couple of months in the spring looking for a site. And this year, the site was going to be in Wyoming. We have a group of people, a big council that is open to anybody that shows up at the last day of the gathering. So this year we're in Richard Teat National Forest in Wyoming, last year Arkansas, the year before that Colorado and stuff. And pretty much what happens is that some people find a site that they think is big enough. They tell their friends tell their friends, it goes out, and then suddenly thousands of people just kind of show up at the same time in the same place. There's no organization at all, but there's a huge amount of coordination between like-minded individuals trying to do everything from a medical care, like the folks that I hang out with.
And it really shows the establishment is powerless, because you just show up, they say you can't, you do what you want, and they grovel and suck their thumbs.
Yeah, and basically they keep trying to shut us down, but because we're hardcore pacifists and peaceful people that don't carry weapons, every time they've come in with all their guns, I mean, it's kind of like a duck shoot. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, the
right?
paper
I mean,
even reported there. That they did point guns at small children.
Yes,
tell us about this site this year. It looks gorgeous where you picked. 7,000 people show up. Go over it for us.
Yeah, and basically there are several incidences that when they actually arrested people, they typically tasered them between 3 to 5 times. I have other video I'm working on getting out on the Internet about this. And so several people were tasered. Several people that were tasered also complained of being kicked before being arrested and things like that.
Well, that's what slave gets, that they're...
Yeah, I mean, they kind of beat you while you're down, you know, because it's a lot easier.
You're a pit slave,
really funny.
You're here to lick boots, buddy. You exist for government.
Yeah.
You exist so people can stomp on you.
Yeah, so what happened, the incident that we're all talking about, which was that there was an individual that the Forest Service has spent several years trying to arrest, and they found him on the edge of the meadow near what we call Kitty Village, which is where all the families with young children hang out, and, you know, they do diapers and cook food for kids and all that. And what happened is the police went to go arrest this one individual. Another sister basically stood up and complained about the fact that they were standing around all the children. They arrested her for obstructing a government operation. Then they arrested this other person named Fonte for whatever it was that they were looking for him at. And as people started to complain about them arresting people, then they drawled all their guns. They had pepper spray. They had rubber bullets. They had tear gas guns.
By the way, we're showing video of this, them running around aiming guns at people, tasering people right now as we stream live.
Yeah, and if you look at the video, you can very, very clearly see that nobody is close by. You can see that many older rainbows put their bodies in front of the crowded people and say, peace, peace. Everybody was trying to go away. The Forest Service keeps claiming that there were ricks and stocks, sticks and rocks.
But the problem is you've got all the videos, and the newspapers admit they're a pack of liars as usual.
Sure. Yeah, and I only got the videos up on the Internet last night, so they're getting spread more around. But
yeah, we're streaming a bunch of them as you talk right now, because we're also on TV right now.
Okay, so you can see that the Forest Service lied, that there were no rocks thrown, there were no sticks thrown. The crowd actually never threatened the law enforcement officers beyond calling them terrorists.
A god man to you, slave.
And then basically you can very clearly see the front law enforcement officer shoot the people that were holding the crowd back. They wanted to create a riot.
Well, that's
so
good. That's what you do, is you shoot peaceful people. That's good.
Yep. So they shot all the peaceful people trying to keep the crowd back. Then as those people fell, then they opened up with tear gas.
Good.
We treated probably several dozen people in our medical
community. That's why our veterans fought against British tyranny, was so you could live like this. So you could be attacked for no reason. So I really think you ought to just shut up and stop complaining. But please continue with your evil, sir.
Yeah, and so we had a lot of incidences with it. Several people were shot in the face, including one asthmatic who almost died from being pepper sprayed in the face.
Lord, that is good.
We basically, in our medical unit, we gave him oxygen for over an hour until he recovered.
Oh, that's Al-Qaeda.
Many of the people that were shot with rubber bullets we treated in our medical unit, and some people had bruises 6 inches across.
Horrible. You need a government license to put a Band-Aid on somebody. How dare you?
Oh, yeah, and they basically are shooting people with rubber bullets from 10 feet away.
That's good. That kills people all the time. That's good. They need to kill you. They need to feel good about themselves.
So all this happened around all the young children, all the little kids.
Well, that's good.
Watched all this basically go down. So
they're going to learn how to love their government.
Yep. And then the strange part was the government keeps going that they arrested instigators of the riot. None of the people that they actually arrested was till the following day. They came back the next day and just arrested a few people that they thought they remembered from the riot, just so they could pretend that there was a real riot when there wasn't. And it's very interesting because the Forest Service makes it sound like they came in and arrested the riot instigators, but the reality is that they did not. They came
I'm coming out there next year. I am going to go and I'm going to be documenting. I'm going to have people hiding in the woods everywhere, and we are going to properly catch them with their pants down. I'm going to bring like 10 camera people, and we will really shut them down.
By the way,
Rob, you're going. You're going to be out there with thousands of hippies, your favorite thing.
Yep.
All right, anyways. I'm joking.
We'll be in New Mexico next year, so you know where to go.
You're going to be where?
New Mexico.
Oh, great. New Mexico's close to me.
Yeah.
You're going to be in high desert around Ruidoso or something?
Well, you know, nobody's actually started looking yet, so we'll figure it out. We are near Tres Piedras in Taos in 1995, the last time we were in New Mexico.
I'll definitely be there. That's it. All right, please continue with your evil, sir.
Yeah, so basically, you know, the Forest Service created this whole incident because they've been trying to shut us down for 37 years and failed. And so now they're trying to portray us as a bunch of criminals and whatever else they don't seem to like. And then they're using the fact that we're violent people. I mean, here we are peaceably praying for peace on the 4th of July, which is our right. And they try to portray us as violent criminals. In
being fired on by rubber bullets that kill people every few weeks. Yep. I mean, the Red Sox case, shooting the young girl in the face, killing her. And it's all on video. But see, I see all the squad car videos where they beat somebody up. They don't fight back, but they still charge you.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy. Exactly. Why not just leave you alone?
Well, we don't know. But basically, as far as I can tell, several years ago, the head of the incident command team for the Forest Service said that the reason they need to force us to get organized and basically elect a leader is so that we will pay a $750,000 permit fee to the Forest Service.
And, so, of course, they also want to be able to then restrict you and control you and prosecute individuals.
Sure. One of the things they said this
year. Well, they're afraid of this spreading, us just living and being free again and doing what we want instead of licking their black boots.
Well, and to be honest, the Rainbow Family is about as free as it comes because we're even free from our own hierarchy, you know, much less anybody else's. And I think that's the thing that bothers them, that Rainbow Gatherings, people are, everything is free. Food is free. Medical care is free. Everything is free, barter economy, trading, and people live pretty much under the radar and not really plugged into any of the kind of governmental system.
Now,
and
they also try to, quote, people. Go after drugs, because let's not lie, there's a lot of mushrooms, a lot of wacky tobacco floating around, but hey, George Washington smoked it. I don't like it, but that's fine with me. They should decriminalize it. This is the same criminal government trying to cram Prozac and Ritalin down kids' throats that kills them in deadly live cancer virus vaccines like HPV. But they do set up their checkpoints. They do try to nab people. They don't have a very good record of catching anybody with the ganja, do they?
Well, no, because believe it or not, a rainbow gathering, a lot of the original impetus was all the other ways of higher states of consciousness. Believe it or not, drug use has never been part of what rainbow gatherings are about. And while a lot of people that may come to gatherings may believe this way, because a gathering, everybody's free to believe what they want, you see these dichotomies. You see many people that are healthy, you know, non-drug-taking, non-caffeine, vegetarian.
Well, hold on, I'm watching video of them choking someone right now. Well, I tell you, this is some incredible footage right here. So basically, these Forest Service people just torture and attack whoever they want, and then just dance around laughing.
Sure, basically, they did little things like when I drove into the Rainbow Gathering, right? Four law enforcement vehicles encircled my truck, stopped me on the road.
Four from Mount Olympus gods stopped a slave. Now, tell me, slave, what happened?
Well, basically, then they, you know, complained about my vehicle because they know me because I have all these radio antennas on the roof because I do communications at gatherings.
So they thought that was Al-Qaeda? They thought that was evil?
Yeah, they got upset because I had more antennas than they did or something.
So that slave doesn't have that. That's illegal, too. Okay.
Well, and all the Forest Service guys, because of my long association, know me really well. And so they've isolated about a handful of us that they know really well and tried to basically ruin our lives. I've been to court like 6 or 7 years in a row. For gatherings, and all of my tickets have been dismissed, all of them, because they were bogus in the beginning. The cops use this as an exchange to harass us. They pull me over, they spend 2 hours throwing all my stuff on the side of the road in the middle of the night, and then they leave after bringing all the dogs over everything, leaving you to put all your stuff back in your car and drive away. This is how they greet you at the Rainbow Gathering.
Yeah, gotta not bring the ganja.
Yeah, well, and I don't anyway. I'm a medic. I just bring Advil.
No,
you know?
I understand. That's good. Good thing for you.
Yeah, but it's just ridiculous. And they search everybody like that, families with kids, everything. And when I was in court, almost every case there was for stupid things like dirty license plates, you know, brake lights not visible enough. I mean, the most incredibly trivial traffic charges. This is the biggest stuff that these guys could get us for, was a whole bunch of meaningless traffic charges.
Now, what about pointing guns at children? The newspaper said they'd seen videos of that.
Yeah, some of the other videos, not the ones on my website, but some of the other videos actually show them. They are basically fanning the crowd with their guns, and they were standing, you know, 15 feet from the Kid Village area, the big kitchen.
But why are they so afraid? I mean, as a man, I don't claim to be a real tough guy, but, I mean, I really don't get scared very easily. And I've had people threaten me and all sorts of stuff when I'm out unarmed, and it's actually kind of a thrill. I don't get why cops have been, they used to be like this. Cops used to be pretty tough.
Well,
I mean, I had a lot of, you know, cops in my family, and they're, you know, pretty tough, and in the old days they were pretty tough. You know, they were into, you know, being macho and not being wimps. Now cops act so afraid of everything. They're just like, with guns at people's heads. Oh my God, a hippie. Oh my God, they're deadly.
Yeah, it's kind of amusing, because, like, to be honest, you know, I've been in situations where I've been surrounded by cops, and I'm not usually that scared. But, you know, these guys with full armor and weapons are scared of a few hundred people that they know from our track record for 37 years are peaceful, aren't going to attack anybody. This is completely ridiculous.
The
but, yeah,
wicked fleeth when none pursueth.
Yeah,
the wicked fleeth when none pursueth. Sir, stay with us. I want to take phone calls. Who else is the Rainbow Gathering? Witnesses, 1-800-259-9231, are your take on the police state. We'll be right back with our guest, the evil slave.
On a long, lonesome highway, east of Omaha, listen to the end.
Rob Savoy, longtime Rainbow Gathering fella. Got a lot of video of this. Talked to a lot of the witnesses. Let's go to Scott. Scott is somebody that Trey has lined up. Scott, tell me your last name. You were there and witnessed a lot of this, too, at what happened last week.
Yeah, my last name is Topka, Scott Topka.
What did you witness, Scott, as a evil slave?
You know, as far as the altercation that happened in Kid Village, I kind of saw it from a distance. You know, I did witness unprovoked firing of what appeared to be paintball pepper spray into a crowd containing children.
But that's what slaves are for, is to be fired on by gods. I mean, you know the Greek tragedies. When Zeus wanted to come down and kill a mortal, he did it for his enjoyment.
Right. We're not going out there to be in a tragedy, Alex. We're going out there to pray, so.
Well, I'm being sarcastic about the tyranny that we have in this land by throwing it in their face, but yeah, certainly it's horrible shooting rubber bullets at children. Tell me what else you saw.
You know, just generally, like I said, that the use of the less lethal weaponry, it wasn't provoked. Amy, I've read in the paper, you know, that sticks and rocks were thrown. I've read that, you know, every couple of years for the past 8 years. There was nothing thrown. The couple of people that were, you know, in bystanders' eyes a little bit too belligerent, not violent, but a little bit too belligerent, were held back and dealt with by bystanders. The police officers were not in any danger at any time.
And there's video of that, and we know they're lying, and this is why they've been disgraced, and this is why this country's in so much trouble. That's why I'm going to go out there to New Mexico next year. Have my people spread out, so whenever they attack, we'll always catch it. And just to, again, illustrate that they're a pack of liars. What else did you witness?
Well, and, you know, not a lot involved with that altercation, but, you know, I've been doing this for 8 years now. And just the general police abuse, you know, I mean, setting up what they call information checkpoints so that they can search every car that comes through. Coming in with troops of, you know, 8 to 14 armed men to fish for arrests. You know, we're talking about misdemeanor and very low-level misdemeanor warrants that are being...
How early does this start? Because the Rainbowers start trickling in the week before, right? I mean, how early do they bivouac and nest on the road, searching and harassing everybody?
It usually starts up between the 12th and maybe 16th of June, when, you know, there's less than 1,000 people on the land. And as a matter of fact, that's their MO has been traditionally to attack the people who are volunteering the most time. So they attack supply lines. They harass our medical personnel. You know, they harass the scouts and the people that are operating communications. So
they attack America. That's their main mission, is freedom. Yeah. And the terrorists hate us before freedom.
What they're doing, though, is they're kind of, you know, cutting their own throats as far as problems go, because they're taking they're taking action against the people who are most likely to deal with real
problems.
But
they want problems. You understand? That's what they want. They want to rule. They got the job because they want to shove slaves around.
Right. And, that's why they don't like us, is because we're not real easy slaves.
Exactly. You're the opposite of slaves, and you've got to be punished. You're not staying in line. I want to hear about the history of the Rainbow Gathering when we get back with both Scott and our other guest, Rob. Rob, did you witness some of the things that we hear Scott talking about?
Oh, yeah. They've been harassing us, like you said, for 7 or 8 years. It goes back even farther than that. But it's obvious that pretty much everybody goes through that certain amount of law enforcement harassment getting into a gathering. I mean, here we are exercising our constitutional rights to peaceably assemble on public land, and they make us all, like, dump our stuff out, search our cars, and scare everybody just so that we can attend.
I'll tell you what, stay there. We'll talk more to the slaves in 1 minute.